So Father, we thank you for who you are. And you know my heart's cry, Spirit, and how I personally so want to be able to believe that I can stand in the power of Christ. That's my heart's cry for every single one of us here. That we would give no ground to the enemy. That we would be able to wake up and to be able to see that your resurrection is an invitation to a new way of life. And that life is characterized by your love and by your power and by making your kingdom a reality here and now. And so, Father, do that in our hearts and in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, on Sunday nights, my wife Marissa and I, we have, we invite the high schoolers over to our home, and we do a very underground and bootleg Bible study. And by that, I just mean that we don't have a curriculum or anything, but what we are trying to do, and Catherine helps us out almost every single week, what we're trying to do is we open a passage, and I put it back on them, like, hey, these are the three things that we're asking, and so if we don't talk, if you don't talk, we don't study. What stands out to you? How does this apply to my life? And what questions do you have? And so we just push it onto them, and they end up leaning in, and we end up having a great discussion every single week. But a couple weeks ago, after study, right, Avery, didn't I have to say, hey man, we just got to address this. What we're doing is really awkward. Right? Didn't I say that? And so what we're doing right now, all together, focusing on God, just face the reality. It's just awkward and it's weird because we don't do that as a culture. There's not very many spaces that we do that. And so to have high schoolers be able to gather around and pray for each other and crack open the Bible, it's weird and it's awkward. And so I said, man, we just got to embrace the awkwardness if we're going to grow. That's why I just addressed that. I was like, man, what we're doing, following Jesus, is literally counterintuitive to everything that we are taught, everything that we're used to, everything that we want to do in and of ourselves, everything that culture around us, and everything that the enemy's trying to lure us into. So just acknowledge that and breathe. If you feel that, breathe. Be like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one. But here's the danger. The danger is you allow the awkwardness to win. The danger is you allow the enemy to punk you and keep you trapped and captive. The danger is that you allow what you think of other people and their opinions to keep you exactly where you are, and you don't even get to taste what this resurrection life is. And so my pastoral heart to all of you, from the very beginning, we can end the sermon right now. We're not going to. But this is my cry for you. It's for you to embrace the awkward. Do the thing, even when you don't want to do it. Get up, figure out how to be able to be a man or a woman of this word. Men, lead your family and prayer around the table. I know it's awkward because you don't do it every week and you're like, how do I bring it up? Man, embrace the awkward and bring the holy. We're sidelined, we're handcuffed, and we're being ineffective for the kingdom because we're embracing the awkward and we're being lulled to sleep by the enemy. But today, what we're doing is we're focusing on the fact that who we say we believe resurrected from the dead. So again, that's kind of weird, right? It's not something that happens very often, okay? So it's okay to be like, well, okay, that's weird. But also because it didn't happen, that tells us that we got to figure out what we're going to do with this Jesus. And so he's either Lord or he's not, in your own estimation of that. And so I am persuaded, people of thousands of history are persuaded, and I believe that his resurrection himself proves the fact that he is God himself, and it gives credibility to everything that he said. So that means that it's worthwhile leaning into figuring out, man, what does it look like for me to live the way that Christ is inviting me to live? And so that's what we're doing today. We're going to read one verse, literally one verse. And then the onus is going to be on you and on me in my home to live this thing out. Because I was reading one verse and just meditating on it yesterday. And it kind of made the entire Bible just kind of like, it was like one of those movies where you see some like pages go through somebody's brain. It's like all these connections, like it was like everything just came alive because it almost brings life and it brings a whole new perspective to what we're focusing in on with the resurrection of Jesus. And so Romans 16 verse 20 is what we're going to read. But while we're kind of getting there, I just want you to think the question, just to ask yourself this question. Have you ever really considered why did Jesus come? Have you taken time to be able to even just ask the question, man, why did Jesus come? And so I will be asking you questions later so you can talk back to me, but I'm not going to put you on the spot now. Is that clear? Okay, but I will be asking questions later, so can you respond to me maybe? He's like, yeah, maybe. Okay. Hey, that was big. That was big. Thank you. But why did Jesus even come? And so you might say, man, to be able to be the payment for our sin. Yes. To be able to live the life that we couldn't live. Yes. To be able to make a way to restore connection between us and God. Yes. But this verse made me be able to see that, man, there might be a whole nother element to be able to throw into the mix there. It's because Jesus wants to accomplish his mission through us. Jesus wants to accomplish his mission through us. That's crazy. And there has to be a better way. I mean, I think about efficiency all the time, and how I do things may not make sense to you, but in my mind, it's efficient. Okay. That's just how I roll. But there has to be a better way than to rely on humans, because I fail all the time. I say I'm going to do something and I can't do it. I can't follow through. I keep doing sin that I say that I'm not going to do anymore. I keep failing, right? I'm not reliable. But listen, that speaks to the validity of the love of God even more. So this verse that we're about to read, you'll see why it made this mind bomb in my mind, because when I read it, it made me go all the way back to Genesis about why God even created us. God created mankind to be able to be his representation on earth. We were created to be able to rule heaven the way that God rule earth the way that God rules heaven. That because of our connection and relationship to God, that we were supposed to be this walking representation of God on this earth, taking the kingdom of God and his love to every nook and cranny of this earth. It's why we were created, for partnership with God. To make this place that we know as home, this representation, this copy, this mirror image of how God rules. Well, then we get three chapters in, and what happens? That's a question. Does it go very well? Or do we mess it up? Dude, we messed that up real quick, right? And so we're just like, hey, God, I know like what you said, that sounds pretty good, but I think I want to do it my way. So Adam and Eve are like, nah, I think I want to do things according to my own eyes. They reject God. So now there's sin now enters into this world because now it's selfish oriented. And so now every single human being that is now born onto this earth wants to do things their own way. And in a room just this size, if we all want to do things our own way, that's going to cause chaos real quick. Now maximize that to the entire planet. But did God just wipe us out? You see this little nugget within Genesis 3 where he gives this promise that, hey, that crafty serpent that deceived you, I'm going to crush his head. That evil one that wants to lead you away from me, his day is coming. He's going to lose. God is committed to us. And then you go through the rest of the Old Testament and you just see what happens in the Old Testament. Are they faithful? No, they keep turning their back. They keep turning their back on God. They keep failing. They keep doing whatever they want to do. They keep worshiping these other gods instead of the true God. And God is still faithful to them. And you see so much. He's so faithful to us that he took on flesh in the God-man of Jesus himself to rescue us. And Jesus, when he was here, did he make it all about himself? Or was he spending time with everybody else? He pulled around his disciples, or the word that we love to use here is the apprentices, right? And he was empowering them to do the work of the what? The work of the ministry. They were the ones. He was empowering them. The God himself was here and he was like, hey, you can go out and have my power. You go in partnership with me. Go. And they begin to experience it, right? But then Jesus is pouring into them. But then after Jesus dies, what happens? For a moment, all of his disciples doubt. They turn their back. They fall away. They're like, man, what was that? What is that? But did Jesus write them off? No, he showed up before him and was like, yo, all that stuff I was trying to tell you all this time, do you see it now? You see it? And they're like, oh yeah, I see it. I see it. Right? It clicked inside of them. And then that awkwardness that I talked about just a couple minutes ago, it shifted inside of them. And now because they're not trying to do anything on their own strength, they begin to see that God actually wants to walk with them and that God is sick and tired of the chaos, the sin, and the darkness that is ruling in this world. And he's saying that if those disciples would just walk with him, that God through the disciples would push back darkness and people would see the light and be drawn to God. And that's what you see in the book of Acts. And it just explodes. And now you and I, we live in this time where it's like, honestly, if we're being real, it's kind of hard to know if anybody's even a Christian, except if we're in a room on Sunday. There has to be something more to this. Why did Jesus take on flesh, die, and then resurrect? It wasn't so that we can be able to own a little Bible, put it under our arms, and just walk into a building on Sundays. There has to be more. And so what I want to appeal to you is that the resurrection is an invitation to new life. The resurrection is an invitation to new life. So that means we got to embrace the awkward, but it's this invitation that as we walk through the awkward and learn how to live as God's representative here, it's just like riding a bike or learning a new skill. Man, we're going to learn it. We'll understand. We'll grow. We'll progress. We'll take baby steps. And what begins to happen if we begin to take God at his word? We begin to not allow the darkness to rule in our lives anymore, but we allow the kingdom of heaven to flow through us and we push back the darkness in our lives. God uses us to be able to push back the darkness in the people closest to us and then even in the people all around us, which inspires other people, other people, other people. The resurrection is an invitation to new life. He didn't resurrect so that we can sit here and look like church people, whatever that even looks like. Right? It was an invitation to this new way of life that we could allow the power of heaven to rest on us and flow through us. And so all of that to give you backdrop for this one verse. Romans 16, verse 20. It says this. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Right? I'll read it one more time because I don't think you got it. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. All right, so what does it say? Annie, welcome back. Put you on the spot. What does it say? What does it say? Whose feet? Who's the your? Oh, that's good. You couldn't hear it. She said, us, our feet. Right? Well, wait, all right, go back. I don't think, did you get it? You did? Okay, I won't put you under. Man, what is this saying? It's saying, hey, the God of all peace will be with you. And what is he about to do? He's just going to shoo the snake away so that he doesn't come back. No, he's going to crush. He's going to defeat the enemy under whose feet? Our feet. Right? Okay, hey, so do you see what I'm trying to pose between us? Man, the resurrection has to be more of this, more than just this, hey, I get to go to church on Sunday. It is this invitation to this whole new way of life where guess what? The enemy has no claim on me. The enemy has no claim on me. In fact, God is using us, those who believe, to be able to actually give the final and decisive blow to the enemy through us. Do we live like that? That's what I'm asking, that we would begin to live like that. That we would begin to be able to press into, man, hey, I don't know how to study the Bible, man. I need help. That's awkward to be able to admit that. But praise God when you admit that. Let's roll. Man, I don't know how to be able to lead my family. I've not done a very good job, and I've allowed all these years to go by, and I don't know. I'm really concerned about my kids as they're growing up. How do I even have that? Man, I'm so glad you're asking that conversation. Man, let's press in. Let's lean into the Lord Jesus, and let's begin to believe what this is saying. That God wants to use you in your home to push back the darkness. Some of you feel like, man, God is birthing something inside of you where that you want to start a new work, or maybe God is calling you to maybe even plant a church, or to go to another church, or go to another country, but you're afraid because you don't know if you're ready. I just don't get from the resurrection that we're supposed to live in fear. But it seems like he wants to flow through us, to partner with us, to be able to push back the darkness that we see all around us, and to be able to establish the kingdom of God here and now. What would that look like? And so I've got one sentence for you, and then I'll be out of your way. One sentence. Grace meets you where you are and leads you to where you're meant to be. Grace meets you where you are and leads you to where you're meant to be. Right? So how do we see that here within this verse? This verse, man, it starts off, it says, the God of all peace will soon crush Satan. Right? The God of all peace will soon, right? And so what is that saying? Man, God has all of the peace that we need for every single situation, right? And so all of us here, we are all wrestling with a whole bunch of different things. We all have various chaos. We all have various sin that we've allowed into our lives. We have various things that have happened to us. And so we need the hand of God. We need the peace of God individually. I need it different than Denise does. We might have similarities, but we've got differences, right? These three girls right here need it a whole lot different than I do. But what does this verse tell us at the beginning? It says, man, the God of all peace will be with you. And he knows exactly what you need. He's going to meet you exactly where you are. Grace meets you where you are. Right? And so here's another question I'll ask for you. So when we look at this verse that we're studying together, does this make you think of anywhere else in Scripture? You can look down. It's not up there. It's okay. Look down in front of you. Does it make you think of anywhere else in Scripture? Genesis. Where about? 3. It's perfect. So Paul wrote what we just read, and he's riffing off of what was written in Genesis. And so what happened in Genesis? Adam and Eve decided to turn from God and do their own. So sin now enters into the world, right? And so from that moment right there, look, grace meets you exactly where you are. May God's grace meet you exactly where you are. You don't need to be somewhere else. You could be in the middle of your sin and shame. You could be at your worst moment, and God's grace shows up exactly where you are. So literally, post-sin, God shows up and he makes this promise that I will crush the serpent. So you can go. It's Genesis 3:15 or 3:16. I'm not sure. You write it down and you can study it. But I want you to go. It would be an interesting thing for you to do. So look and see the differences between Genesis 3 and where we are here in Romans 16. God speaks it and makes it seem as if the Messiah is going to be the one that comes and crushes the serpent's head. Which he does. But how does Paul say this here? He says, man, and the God of all peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. My feet. So there's a little difference there, as that, hey, God is still doing the crushing, but he's partnering with us. He desires to partner with us. So why do you need peace? What's the opposite of peace? Chaos, turmoil, hostility. So shame, fear, regret. You, whatever it is that's going inside of you, that's keeping you apart and away from God, what is it inside of your mind that keeps you from believing that God actually loves you and wants to partner with you? And what this verse is saying is that, hey, cut the junk, man. Grace meets you exactly where you are. God loves you. He loves you so much in your sin that he died for you at your worst. He rose from the grave declaring that even the biggest things that can hold us back, the biggest fears of our lives, have no bound on him. And then he invites us to this new life. You think that your sin is going to keep God's love away from you? And that's the enemy. Don't give a seat to that. You think that the years that you've walked away from God is keeping you away? Man, the beautiful thing is that our Lord knows exactly where you are right now. And his grace is available meeting you today. But the second thing, man, grace meets us in our mess. The second thing is that grace leads us. Grace leads us, right? It is us in partnership with God that makes this happen. And so what does this actually change? It seems like you're just pulling at something that doesn't matter. No, it really matters, because Jesus didn't die so that we would just have this weak, passive faith. But Jesus died and resurrected so that we would begin to partner with him, so that God would use us to be able to bring about the kingdom. So what does that look like? A lot of us are just held back, myself included. A lot of us are held back in fear and worry and anxiety, and we feel like God wants us to do something, but we allow whatever it is to keep us back. And so, man, let's do a better job as a family to be able to lean into those moments and allow God to show himself the resurrected King. right? But listen, we've gone way too long allowing the enemy to punk us. We're going way too long allowing the enemy to be able to lull us to sleep. Oh, maybe tomorrow I'll get up and be with the Lord. Man, you got to embrace the awkward, man. What we're doing, we are in the kingdom of darkness right now. That's why it's so hard for us to be able to shake from this. But because Christ resurrected, he shows that there's another way. And so as we would begin to press in and say, God, I need you. I need your grace because I don't want to keep giving into this sin. I don't want this sin habit to grow and to destroy my family. So I need you. As we do that, what is the promise? Satan and his little goonies are going to be crying like that. That's the promise. Look. What do you notice about this? It's not this, oh man, I need to try hard so that maybe I could get boldness. Man, what all that this is saying is that as we open ourselves up to God, God works through you to squash the enemy. You don't do jack, son. You're making yourself available to be able to be in this land of darkness to say, I don't want it to be this way. I'm broken for my neighbors. I'm broken for my family. And I don't want Satan to continue to run and rule and reign. God, bring your kingdom now. And as we roll into that, the power of on high, the resurrected king rolls up and he shows up and shows out. And we're out here stomping the fool. That's why Pastor Tim is all the time, he's praying, he's saying, God, may you come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Why? Because we're sick of the darkness and we want him to come bring the kingdom now. But guess what? We don't have to worry about if we have victory. He says, God, the God of all peace, will soon crush the enemy. It's already determined. We are not fighting for approval. We're not fighting for victory. That's what the resurrection is all about today. We're fighting from Christ's victory. And we're just making this thing happen. So, what do we do about this? Man, the first thing that I would just appeal to you is, man, wake up and embrace the awkward. It's don't give any more ounce of room to the darkness in your life anymore. And if you're not sure what to do, man, talk to somebody. That's what we're here for. That's what the church literally means. Man, we're a family and we're all out here. Man, the enemy just keeps kicking me in the tail and I'm sick of it. Let's do this together. All right, let's go. Let's figure this out together. Embrace the awkward. Let's do the hard things. Let's try to figure out how to be the apprentices, the disciples, the followers of Jesus. Because as we do, we begin pushing back the darkness that we all hate. And we begin to say, hey, God, I want your kingdom to be a reality right here. I want healing here. I want restoration here. And we're not making it happen. It's God's grace flowing through us because we understand that we serve a risen king. So man, embrace the awkward. The second thing, man, maybe you don't even know what you believe about Jesus. Man, I would encourage you, while we are singing, we're going to close here in just a minute, and we're going to sing two songs. I would just encourage you, man, contemplate, man, what do I do with this Jesus? And if you want to talk with somebody, man, talk to the person that brought you. Come on front. I'll be down here. I'd love to talk with you. That's why we're gathering. Is we want you to understand that Christ is Lord. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's coming a day when every single knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But there is a time when you're going to be held accountable to what you did with that. So man, come, receive the Lord today. The third thing is, man, for the rest of us, we're probably going to be having a meal today before the day ends. Probably going to be having lunch or dinner, maybe have some family over. We're asking you, as a church family, let's reclaim the table. Let's reclaim that time together as a family and in a culture where they don't even sit together at a table, man. Let's sit together at the table. And today specifically, let's talk about Jesus. Let's share stories. Parents, how amazing would it be for you to be able to share with your parents about what persuaded you to follow Jesus? Share, how did you come to know that Jesus is Lord? Man, share those things. Step into this. Let's reclaim our houses as pockets of the kingdom of heaven. And if we do, what begins to happen? As I begin to walk in that, as I begin to allow the power of God to flow through me and I start stomping on the enemy, I start doing that on Avery's behalf. I start doing that on Martin's behalf. I start doing that for Mark's behalf. What begins to happen? Man, now Martin's getting all, you know what? Yeah, I'm sick of you too. And then he's starting to go out and push back darkness. And now Mark's over there leading his family and pushing back darkness. And now we're starting to see this thing grow because we're sick of the enemy leading us. I just want to hear what God has to say about me, and I want to move forward with that. And so family, let's make the most of our time together as family units this today. Let's make much of Jesus. And so as the team comes up to lead us in music, man, if you have an area where the enemy has just been having his way and has just been kicking you around and you want to experience freedom, man, come on forward. We'll find somebody to pray with you. If you want to receive Christ today, man, come on forward. Or you just want somebody to pray with you, man, we're available. But if not, let's stand together and let's proclaim the victory of our risen Lord.